Funding for Encuentros is provided in part by the Reinhardt Foundation, self-sustainability for the poor.
Good evening and welcome to Encuentros. I'm Jeffrey David Au, President of the Institute of the Americas. The Institute is an independent organization located on the campus of UCSD that focuses its work on developments in this hemisphere. My guest tonight is Doris Meissner. She served as Commissioner of the Immigration and Naturalization Service from 1993 to 2000 and is now a Senior Fellow at the Nonpartisan Migration Policy Institute in Washington, D.C. I asked her to come here to talk about a new report issued by her organization, which makes recommendations for changes in U.S. immigration policies. Doris, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much.
Just how badly broken is U.S. immigration policy right now?
It's pretty badly broken. I mean, the best and most vivid example, of course, of how it's broken is what virtually everybody must know at this point, and that is that we have a very large population of people in the country that are not authorized to be here. So if you have an immigration system where millions of people, in fact, are here having averted the immigration system, it's obviously not working very well. I think maybe the best way of illustrating that is that we have about 37 million foreign-born people in this country. About a third of them are naturalized U.S. citizens. About a third of them are permanent residents that have a green card who are legally here. And fully a third of them are unauthorized. So we have about a third of our foreign-born population that is illegal. And for a nation of immigrants that's also a nation of laws, that's indefensible.
So broadly speaking, what do we do about it?
We, of course, are having a major debate in the country now on just trying to answer exactly that question. What do we do about it? People have very different points of view. And I think that that debate is going to have another crescendo in this Congress. But it's quite clear that we need to insist on effective law enforcement because we do have a country that is rich and that many people want to come to, and under any set of circumstances that one can foresee, we are not able to have as many people here as would want to come. But the more important thing, I think, because I do believe that there is as broad a consensus on effective enforcement as is needed, where the real argument and difficulty is whether you need to do things in addition to that. And I would submit that most definitely we have to not only enforce our laws from the standpoint of the integrity of our borders, but we have to recognize that we're in a different time in our history. We are at a point in our history where we are an aging society, we are a very productive economy, we are producing more jobs than we are producing people in our population to fill the jobs, and as strange as it may sound, we need to open up our immigration system to more employment-based immigration in order to get control over the immigration system. So the discussion of whether we should do that and how we would do that is one that I think we'll hear a great deal more about in the Congress.
Now, you were the director of an important study which was put together by the Migration Policy Institute. And as I understand it and have read it, you are advocating that we really should have three different types of immigration streams into the United States. Can you explain that?
Yeah, in this work that we did, we tried to look at exactly these questions that you're asking. What's broken? Why is it broken? What are the fixes? And the brokenness, of course, does go to the very large illegal population. But the reason that that population is here has to do with a fundamental disconnect between our current immigration laws and what's going on in our economy. So we have an immigration law that, first of all, is very rigid. It has numbers and quotas written into it that often are not changed for 15, 20, sometimes more than that, years at a time. And we're in an economy now that is a globalized economy. We are competing internationally for talent at the high end of the labor market, as well as the needs that we have for people at the lower skilled point of the labor market. So if immigration is going to be fixed, what we say in this work is that we really need to see it as a national asset, and we have to manage it in ways that work for us as an economy and as a society. So what we say is that we need to really revise and redesign our visa system overall. In other words, it isn't enough just to try to solve the problem of illegal immigration. We really need to do that in the context of a visa system that will work for us for the future. Otherwise, we'll be in the same place again a few years down the road. So the idea that we've put forth is that we need three streams of immigration. There is legitimate and very large numbers of people that come to the country temporarily, everybody from visitors who come for a couple of weeks for a wedding or a trip to Disneyland, to journalists that come for a short period of time, and many occupations where people come temporarily, and we define temporary as less than a year. In California, and much of the way we see lower-skilled immigration, that temporary immigration is agricultural. But then we say that there needs to be a middle ground, which is not, does not exist in the laws today. There needs to be a middle ground, which we're calling provisional immigration, along with permanent immigration, which is something that we are all quite familiar with. Those are people who have green cards and come to stay. But the idea of provisional immigration would be to take account of the employment needs that exist in the economy that are ongoing jobs. They are not temporary jobs. They are ongoing jobs in the service sector, in our high-tech Silicon Valley kinds of occupations, in many in the hospitality industry and construction. These are ongoing deficits in the labor market at the present time. And we're saying, let's design a visa for that kind of worker. Let's let that person come here for 3 years. And then if that person wants to return to their country, fine. If not, let that visa be renewed for 3 years, and let that person ultimately, if there is a job and if the person learns English, let them be qualified to apply for permanent immigration, so that you would have a continuum that is much more, that mirrors much more effectively or directly what really goes on in the economy and in the labor market. After looking at this issue from the standpoint of our demography, our employers, our permanent, the things that are broken in the immigration system, we concluded that we ought not to be having a guest worker program or the kind of a program that the president is advocating as a temporary fix because, as I said, the needs in the economy are ongoing. They are needs that come with the fact that we are an aging society and we do not produce enough younger workers anymore. And they are needs that have to do with the occupations that immigrants, both legal and illegal, are in that are able to help us adjust to competition around the world. What immigration really is it's often described as an hourglass phenomenon. You have very high-skilled immigration, and you have low-skilled immigration. And those are the parts of the American labor market where there are deficits at the present time. We don't do a good enough job of educating our own kids in math, science, engineering, and we produce lots of good jobs in those fields. And so immigration at the high-skilled end is a strong advantage for us. It's a cushion. It's a way to complement the things that are not being done as effectively as they need to be in our own domestic policies, recognizing that, of course, we've got to do much better where those educational areas are concerned. But similarly, at the low end of the labor market, the greatest growth in jobs in this economy in the last 10 to 15 years has been at the lower end of the labor market. And the growth in the population in this country has stabilized so that any new sources of labor without immigration have basically dried up. I mean, the big entrance into the labor market in the last 15, 20 years have been from baby boomers and from women. And that has basically now leveled off. It's tapered off. That's exactly right. So that where our growth in the labor market is concerned, it's all older workers, which has its limitations, and immigrants. So that immigrants are an essential productivity factor, but we should be regulating the flows of those immigrants. We should not be allowing them to just come willy-nilly in this laissez-faire, market-driven fashion that has been the case and is the case right now that we call illegal immigration.
Now, you've talked about two streams, one the visitor, the other the temporary, and then the final stream would be permanent immigrants, people who are coming essentially for employment or for family
and for family unification. Yeah, I mean, the system that we have now, one of the reasons that it's so unsuitable is because it is based, for legal immigration, it is based almost entirely on family connections, which is a very important value and is a value that needs to be maintained. But more than two-thirds of our legal immigration at this point happens only, you can come here only if you have a close family member. So that if you do not have a parent or a child or a spouse, in some cases a sibling in this country, you there is not a way to get here legally unless you are a very specialized person, nuclear scientists, people in the arts that are very distinguished. And that's really what is hurting us so because of the demographics that I've been describing. We need to open up more employment-based opportunities in a legal immigration system. And what we're saying is let's do that in a way that, as I say, people who come temporarily, that's fine, they should come and go. But let's create a middle ground, which is a provisional category where you can come for several years if you want to stay, if there continues to be a job here for you. And these would all be people for whom there is a job. These would all be people for whom an employer would have to vouch. And there would have to be proper labor protections, decent wages, so that it is a regulated system, not an illegal system. But that those people ought at some point, if they wish, to be able to graduate, as it were, to permanent immigration. And then your permanent immigration would be your family, unification people as they come today, but also would allow for a group of people, which could be fairly large. It could be several hundred thousand at any particular point. But another thing that we have felt strongly about is that there needs to be a great deal more flexibility in adjusting the numbers in the immigration system. We have, I'll give you a great example of one of the reasons that we're in such trouble. Our legal immigration system allows for only 5,000 slots for people to come here who are low-skilled. And yet we have an illegal immigration of probably about 500,000 people a year, the vast majority of whom are filling those lower-skilled needs in the labor market. 5,000, 500,000. That 5,000 was set in statute in 1990. And in fact, in a debate in 1990, it was lowered from 10,000 to 5,000. Congress has been unable or unwilling to change it ever since. And that is the case with lots of things in the immigration laws. They are written into the statute, and they are immovable. So, which just does not suitable for the economy that we're in today. There have to be much more rapid adjustments. And so another thing that we have recommended is that we build flexibility into our immigration decision-making, and that we do that by creating a very small but new government agency whose job it is to know about what's going on in the labor market. Something like the Bureau of Labor Statistics or the Census Bureau that produces credible information that the rest of the government makes decisions from. I mean, I think a good analogy is the way interest rates are adjusted. We adjust interest rates regularly because it's a very important barometer. Well, immigration, in the numbers that we will be needing it and the impact and importance that it is playing in our economy, needs to be thought about as a tool, as an asset that we use in those ways. So if we were to have a group of people that really understood and was watching what's going on in labor markets, we say they should be making recommendations based on that evidence to the Congress at least every 2 years. And you would then adjust numbers according to those recommendations so that this would not be a situation where 15, 10 years of frustration and dysfunction builds up to the point that it makes it almost impossible politically to make decisions in a rational way.
In this three-tiered system, a lot of questions about that, where do the 12 million undocumented aliens currently in the country dovetail into this three-tiered system?
There is no way that anybody has been able to come up with for what to do about that 12 million other than to have a special legislatively based opportunity for those people to adjust their status to legal status
over time. So you're talking about an amnesty.
So there has to be an amnesty of some kind. Now, the minute one uses amnesty, it's the A word, it becomes a conversation stopper. I think, actually, that the president did a good job in the State of the Union speech of making the distinction between what an amnesty is and what it is rhetorically being called in our debate. What the president is suggesting, and I think what almost everybody that has looked at this issue carefully has concluded, of course you don't want to reward lawbreaking, but at the same time one has to recognize that 12 million people, it is simply impractical to deport people, that number of people. And it's not only impractical, it would hurt us economically and it would hurt our communities. So those people should pay a fine. It should be a pretty stiff fine. We should be absolutely certain that they are not criminals or have any other negatives, but they should be allowed to remain in this country and earn their right to stay permanently once they have paid a fine and satisfied the authorities that they are good, upstanding people. Now, one should not, under any circumstances, do that in the absence of a series of other measures that have to be put into place. But as part of an omnibus package of legislative actions, I think a legalization program is essential.
Almost every serious commission and study group that's looked at immigration policy in the last 20, 30 years has come face to face with the logical problem that it's hard to know who's living in this country illegally, to use that term, when we don't know who's living here legally. And commission after commission has suggested some form of national identity document that would not be forgeable, could not be passed from person to person. What is your commission saying about this?
We follow in that line of saying that you must deal with the document issue. We are very strong on effective enforcement as part of a package of measures. And we believe that, of course, border enforcement is critical, but we also say that the efforts that we've made at the border have been focused disproportionately on the Southwest land border, whereas the borders today, particularly in a post-9/11 era, mean not only the Southwest land border, they also mean our legal ports of entry at the land, at the airports, they mean our northern border, they mean our visa issuing offices overseas. All of those have to be knit together to make an effective border enforcement effort. And where illegal immigration is concerned, that border enforcement effort is going to succeed only if it is combined with effective enforcement at the workplace. Because the reason people come here in an unauthorized status is because of jobs. The jobs are available. What our policy really is right now is a policy that says, we're going to make the Southwest land border tougher and tougher to cross, but if you can get across it, there will be a job for you, and it will be quite reliably the case that you'll be able to stay in that job. That is not a good policy. Mm-hmm. So we talk about employer enforcement, and we talk about the only way that employer enforcement can work effectively is if employers must verify the legal status of all of the people that they hire. And in order to verify the legal status of the people they hire, we get to this question of documents. Now, we do not propose a new national ID. What we propose is secure documents of several kinds that are already in existence. If you had a combination of the current green card, which is a secure document, the current work authorization card, which is also a secure document, and by secure I mean it has biometrics on it and has holograms and all of these sorts of things, those two documents take care of the foreign-born. Then what you have left is people like people who are U.S. citizens. We are the ones that don't have secure documents. And we need to have secure documents for an effective immigration control system to work. And that ought to be the Social Security card and the driver's license. I prefer the Social Security card because it's a nationally issued document, and I think it's much better than 50 different state documents, but this Real ID system is now on the books, and so it can work in this favor. But a secure Social Security card would not require getting into the national ID issue, and it would, for the purposes of employer validation of all of our eligibility to work, it would take care of the problem.
California agricultural workers are key to the economy. In this three-tiered system, I think you said at the outset that they would come in as visitors, or would they come in as temporary employees?
Visitors and temporary are the same thing in our thinking. In other words, people that come here for temporary periods of time, less than a year.
Okay.
And most agricultural workers would fit into that temporary category. And so the next level is provisional, more than a year.
More than a year.
And we would say 3 years. And in that circumstance, these would be ongoing jobs. Now, there are many agricultural workers that could fit into the provisional category.
Mm-hmm.
Agricultural workers could fit in the temporary or they could fit in the provisional. It depends on the nature of the job. It depends on the employer's wishes. And so the definition of these things should come from what's going on in the labor market.
Would they have to come to a specific job or come to an economy that needs certain kinds of workers?
They would have to come to specific jobs. That's the only reliable mechanism that we have to know that something is valid. And, you know, employers would have to, there would need to be some disincentives for employers so that they couldn't just leapfrog American workers. But you could envision a system, I mean, we've proposed a system where in order to get into the foreign-born worker system, employers pay a fee, they get accredited, they virtually have a license. They would have to advertise their jobs, but if after a certain period, say 6 weeks, 4 weeks, they didn't get a worker for that job, they could then go to the roster of foreign workers. You could do a lot of this electronically. You would want to bypass some very bureaucratic procedures that exist right now that are really very ineffective. But you would want that worker to be responding to a real labor market need where there is an opportunity for the employer, but also enough of a disincentive so that he doesn't disadvantage the American worker.
We have 2 minutes left, and obviously when we talk about 12 million people, we're talking about people from all around the world. In California, the focus tends to be on people coming from Mexico, who I understand comprise about half of that 12 million. If a new procedure goes into effect, new policies in the United States, could we ask the Mexican government to do something about stopping people from coming who do not have authority to come in? And what do you see as the likelihood of a Mexican government being willing or capable of doing that?
Absolutely, I think we can ask the Mexican government. I think that we've had pretty strong signals from the Mexican government that if the United States enacts a rational program that makes it possible for there to be much better procedures for people to come to the United States, that they would cooperate with us. Now, I think that they are probably... that will cause a big debate in Mexico, mm-hmm. and there are real capacity issues in Mexico that would have to be addressed in order for them to help effectively. But I must say that Mexico has taken enforcement issues seriously in the last several years in ways that probably are quite unprecedented. And I think that although we would have to recognize it is a long-term project, I think it is absolutely essential that we be working with Mexico to administer a program like this.
What is your estimate of the capacity of the United States Congress to come up with a logical and coherent immigration policy before the elections of 2008?
Well, I think that it is more likely now than it has been for the last 6 years. With the Democratic majority in the Congress and a Republican presidency, you have a situation where the stage is set, because there's always been more agreement between the president's position on these issues and the Democrats than there has been within his own party. That said, this is a very difficult issue. There are some very difficult negotiations that will have to take place, but I think there will be progress. There may be a bill. If there's not a bill, there will be progress.
Well, we'll watch it develop. I think it can be very well informed by this report. You can get information and get copies of this report by going to the website that appears on your screen now. My guest has been Doris Meissner, former head of the INS and now senior fellow at the Migration Policy Institute in Washington. Thank you all for joining us on Encuentros. I'm Jeff Davidow with the Institute of the Americas. Good evening.